At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Now that we're here, right? We finally got it. We finally made it to the spot. Very exclusive. And this is a very exclusive establishment. The Underappreciated Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm here to explain to you my guests. I'm finally going to show you my guests. If you can see where I'm at right now, you might have an idea, but you have no idea. Survey says, bringing out my brother, my close friend, Jeff Hamilton, legendary jacket designer, product pusher, culture pusher, my brother, my twin.
My brother.
Yes, sir.
Great to be here with you.
So look, the whole world wants to know one thing. How are you able to push P this long? Pushing P as in product, premium leather, premium everything, your whole lifestyle.
It's just, it's very simple. It's just passion, you know, like I'm pushing passion.
Pushing passion. That's I like
P,
that.
The P is for passion. So it's like, at this stage of the game, I've been doing it for so long that the motivation is part of my way of life. I just want to be out there. It's not even a hustle. It's just blessed to be able to have the universe or God allow me to do things that I love to do and just being part of the culture and try to create more and try to always be better and better as I can, I can.
Well, people have no idea how part of the culture you are. We're gonna get to that, but you know, let's let the world know for the viewers that are watching right now and the people that are listening, where you come from. Like, where's your background? Where do you come from?
I was born in Morocco, North Africa, and when I was 10 years old, I moved to France, and just went through my studies, did math and physics, and graduated. Married when I was 19 years old, and just had always the American dream, loved everything about America. And when I was 24, I moved to America. Just moved with a wife and two kids and $6,000 at the time.
Wow.
And that was 1980 and just didn't know what I was gonna do. I had no idea what I was gonna do.
And look how it turns out. $6,000, you turned it into millions.
I just had no idea I love fashion, but I didn't have any experience at all in fashion. Never designed a thing in my life. I thought I had good taste. I mean, I thought I had, I was doing a little art here and there for myself, never. And one thing led to the other. When I moved in, I was looking for a job, couldn't find it. And I basically start hustling, kind of, for lack of a better word, like meaning working hard.
Not the hustle is key.
Stuff, but buying from a store, selling from a store. And
have you ever interned for anybody?
No, I never worked for anybody in my life. No.
Wow.
So what I did was, and I always try to stay true to that, not to work for anybody, just to keep always that identity that I had, mm-hmm. and the independence. So so I started buying and selling from store to store, and I started making a living, to support my family, very humble living. And then I ran into some French people at the time, which we became very close friends at the time, and they just had started a new company. And that company was Guess Jeans.
Wow.
So they started the company and...
So you was doing denim before leather?
No, I was not doing that. No, no. So before I even... So when I met those people, I basically... We start talking, they want me to work for them. And like I said, I never worked for anybody. And I knew the concept of licensing, so I asked them to give me the rights to do the menswear.
Right.
So I started the menswear in 1983, and without having any idea of designing anything. I didn't even know you needed to create a pattern to create a piece of clothing. So I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about watches and washes or fits or anything like that. And I basically, I learned on the go.
That's incredible.
Even management of business, I didn't know anything. Just learn on the go, and that's why I made so many great successes and so many errors in my life.
Yeah, but you've done it. You've done it for multiple eras before people were born, you know. And, you know, an underappreciated podcast, I believe you're underappreciated because people try to put you in a box. They talk about sports and athletes and stuff like that, but they have no idea. You've done rock and roll. You've done everything. Presidents. And we'll show them the president jacket in a little bit, but yeah.
So that's where I got started. And I start getting really my love for fashion. That's really, you know, when I moved to America, I really, in my thought, I was dreaming to be in a fashion business. I was dreaming to be in the jean business. And everybody said, you're crazy. You're gonna sell jeans to Americans? I mean, it's like, you know, how can you sell, like you're French, you're gonna sell jeans to Americans? It's like, well, I have different ideas of doing certain things. And it was the right time and the right platform. And obviously, I mean, I started with, you know, $22,000 in 1983 at the time when I started Guess. Within 2 years, I was doing $75 million a year.
Whew. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? He's doing $75 million a year.
I'm talking about 1984, 1985.
Just imagine
it's
with
different
that.
Money.
That's billions. That's billions now. Like, I just had to talk to y'all directly about that because that's kind of crazy. Like, what would you do with that type of money? Like, what was you doing during that time with that type of money?
I was just listening. I was 26 years old, 25, 26 years old. I mean, I thought that was like some kind of God or something that I was able to make such a miracle. And I started buying my own BS as well, you know. So I was going in and, you know, going to Rolls Royce. And I was one of the first ones to have the platinum card at the time, you know. American Express, and I would just go in and put the platinum card on the desk and say, I want to buy that car. I have 10 minutes. If you don't tell me, I walk away. And then we'd buy cars. And then 2 days later, I was going to buy a Porsche the same way.
That's crazy.
But I was buying my own BS at the time. I was like an egomaniac.
That's what happens when you're King Leo. King Leo.
Yeah, yeah. I was a Leo. I'm a true Leo. I'm like 9-plus Leo. So I'm like, I really was living the Leo life, which is, you know, hopefully I still have an ego, but hopefully I'd like to think that I have it under control right now.
Right. Well, man, look, you look great, man. You're keeping it together. You've been here before I was born, well before I was born. You made millions well before I was born. You know what I'm saying? And I grew up in hip hop, you know what I mean? Coming up with my uncle being one of the pioneers of hip hop. So it's only right that we start talking about the hip hop influence you had in the game. And we could start out with the Martin jacket, because this right here, this jacket right here, come on. Let's talk about Martin Lawrence, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it happened to be the 30th anniversary of when they launched the show in 1992, like July 1992. So actually this month is the anniversary of 30 years. And so actually I'm working on, right now I'm designing 30 jackets for Martin to give, that he's giving away to all the top celebrities, one of one custom jackets, which should be done by the end of the month.
So you heard it here first. You heard it here first. You know what I'm saying? You get the exclusive.
But before that, I did, you know, LL Cool J. Like, you know, I mean, I was looking at the other day by accident.
Used to go LL.
And LL, you know, like Mama Knocked You Out. Like, I mean, and I found the picture and I realized, you know, and I realized like one time I think it was 95 or 96, you know, maybe 98, I don't know, something like that. And I was at the airport, we're coming for an NBA All-Star game and we start talking and we've always been friendly, but you know, not buddies, but he said, you know how much we represent to the culture? And that's the first time that I heard the word culture at the time. And I said, I mean, I don't know what the F is he talking about. What I do, I make jackets, that's all it is, you know? Right. And because, you know, it's part of our us growing up and doing all that stuff with the jackets. Mm-hmm. And
the eight-ball jackets and the
whole NBA jacket. The eight-ball was not me, it was somebody else. But, yeah. You know, like mostly the NBA ones. And,
but you had way
and 91, I mean, 91 was already like the Michael Jordan championship jackets.
Right.
And the Raiders jackets and the White Sox jackets and the Ice Cube and Dre and NWA wearing my stuff. And
sheesh.
And Biggie and Diddy and all those guys like way back then, you know, so they were wearing my stuff. And it's just like for me, I mean, it's really today it's kind of an accumulation after in fast forward to 2022, it's an accumulation. I never looked at it that I was building something and I was building some kind of a legacy,
right.
You know, which is the biggest compliment that I ever get is just like, I kept on doing things I loved all the time and trying to up my game as much as I could every time, trying to come up with the idea and always try to be in touch and never take, like I always say, take nothing for granted.
And
I appreciate every moment and every experience I ever had in my life.
Right. Well, when it comes to this hip hop and all of that, hip hop is, you know, athletes want to be rappers. Rappers want to be athletes, you know what I'm saying? And there's nobody greater than a lot of the greats that we look at, you know, but I just had to bring this out because this right here is the logo, man. Jerry West, man. And he's still here living to this day. This is very rare right here.
I was at his house, like he's 85 years old, and I told him a story that when I grew up in Paris, mm-hmm. I had a poster of him in my room. I had a poster of him, Will Chamberlain, and Lou Alcindor.
Wow.
Kareem, before he changed his name to Kareem. So I said, you know, for me, I grew up like not knowing what the Lakers were, mm-hmm. but I loved the Lakers because it was Los Angeles in my dream. I dreamt of Los Angeles. Never had seen a basketball game, a pro basketball game in my life on TV or, I mean, we didn't have YouTube. We didn't have Instagram. We didn't have anything like that. So
I didn't even have cameras like that. You could just walk around
and pop up. And I grew up. I mean, I think the first time I had a black and white TV till I was 18 years old, so I mean, I don't, you know, so and it was only two channels in France, so
right.
It's not like that the whole thing that.
Oh, that so you guys didn't get American TV, like it wasn't.
I didn't know anything. I mean, I knew some of the shows, like at the time, like Get Smart or Peyton Place or things like that, but I really didn't know anything about or Bonanza, things like that, but I really didn't know anything about American TV. Or the culture of
so
the
in reality,
culture.
You're just saying you're a creative genius. You was able to move these things out of your mind and just bring them to reality.
No, I'm not saying I was. No, I'm not. No, you know, you're gonna try to get me my ego to fall into it. No, I was not. But I loved it. I mean, I loved basketball, and because of that, I stopped. Because I loved America. Since I was a kid, I always loved anything in America. So I listened to all the music and the rock and roll, and I liked the culture, and I even. You know, just my name was Jeff, you know, I mean, my real name was not Jeff when I was born. My real name was Joseph, but I wanted people to think that I had an American. So I changed basically everybody started calling me Jeff when I was 15 years old. Because, you know, at the time I wanted to, you know, I would meet the girls and say, I was telling them, I'm Jeff. My family is from, the only thing I knew how to say in English was Houston. You know, I did not speak a lick of English. Even when I moved to America, I speak very little English. But I love to say the word Houston. So my family is from Houston, so I say, I'm from Houston. I would say, like, in French.
And they would just be like, oh, yeah,
well,
like,
American,
in Texas.
Right, American.
Houston, Texas.
So I would call all my family that lived here.
Yeah.
I used to get all those college, you know, T-shirts with all the logos. I love that stuff, you know, all the American culture.
Mm-hmm. So you knew that and eventually in the future that you was going
to
be one
yeah,
of
I just, I wanted to live the American dream for me was to come to America. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very happy I did.
Well, I'm happy that you did because if not, we wouldn't have all this fashion that we need day to day because it's very important to have this stuff. If you don't have this
So to go back to that jacket, you know,
that was like cross
Jerry West one.
Jerry.
The Jerry West, you mm-hmm. know, so actually luckily enough, I was commissioned to do the 75 Greatest Players jackets this year mm-hmm. in 2022, but I also was commissioned to do the 1997 50 Greatest Players. So I was lucky to...
he did the 50 and the 75, by the way. You know,
and I'm planning to do
that. That's how long you've been doing it.
And I'm planning to do the 100th anniversary. I'll be 91 by then, but I'll still
be there with him no matter what, even if he's... You know what I'm saying?
And I won't be. Don't worry about it. But I went to see Jerry West at his house, and it was so amazing just to be in his presence and being at his house and with a childhood hero of mine. So one of the things that I've always said, you know, and I repeat myself, is I, as blessed as I am to do the things that I love and making a living doing it, is I still have that little bone inside of me that I still feel like a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, when I meet any kind of celebrity, I'm still excited. I mean, I don't care if it's a 20-year-old rapper or an 85-year-old basketball player.
Right.
You know, for me, I always had that excitement that that is very special. And by me doing that, you know, I mean, when I look at how many people I went through my life, I always had that special excitement, and that I'm still kind of like a little groupie when it comes down to simple thing. Even like a couple of weeks ago, I was in Vegas for the summer leagues, and I was with some rookies, you know, and I'm still excited about that. Just like
out there with them.
I want to get the pictures. I want to do the stuff. I want to memorialize those moments because it's very special for me.
We got to meet up with the champ. Shout out to Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, of course. And you know, it's funny enough. Like a friend of mine didn't know that I have a relationship with him.
What did he say?
Champ, I want you to meet my friend Jeff Hamilton. He said, "What the fuck are you?"
I
know him for 27 years.
I know him 27. He wasn't even born when I met this man. You know what I'm saying? He said, "I've been wearing Jeff Hamilton's before you was born." I said, "Dang."
No, it's just, and it's nothing but love. You know, like. The idea is, we run a business, we always want to make money. This is like, we're in America, we're in a capitalist country, and we want to make money.
Right.
And I think it's so beautiful just to be ambitious and be successful. But at this stage of my life, you know, it is very important, but it's not only, it's one of the priorities, but there's a lot of other priorities. The other priorities are like, knowing that I can go out and do something that I love. I wake up every morning, I'm blessed to be able to come and design. I come up with 20, 30 designs a day. Some of them, I don't even use them, but I keep on doing, and nonstop trying to become prolific, 7 days a week. I mean, my phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, I answer it. I mean, I'm 24/7 on, you know? Mm-hmm. And the third thing that I have, which I never realized once I came back and back into the business, is that, you know, I'm...
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
It's an element that's just so beautiful. It's very pretentious, but very humbling also. Right. It's the fact that I'm building a legacy, you know, like when I'm not around, maybe my jackets or my history will be around.
Yeah.
So those things, it's just, it's amazing. It's because it's like you're building something with that ever seen the result of it.
Right.
So it's kind of like I wrote some kind of quote and I used it for one of the jackets that I did for. I created a new jacket homage to Virgil, and I didn't put the name Virgil. I put a long live V on the jacket, but I put legacy is planting seeds into a field with that expectation to ever see the flowers fully bloom.
That's a beautiful quote, my brother.
So I put that on the jacket, and that's exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. Like when you raise kids, you want to do the best. You want to do the best thing to them. You know, you're not going to see them
but
being.
You get to see part of it. You actually got to see part of it when you see, like, since we were talking about Jerry West and the Lakers, we get to see a part of it. Like we could talk about Kobe Bryant and how you got to see him at the beginning of his career,
right,
to when he won his first championship.
As well as LeBron.
Rest in peace.
As well as Michael. I met Michael in 1986. It was after a year in the NBA. So it's not like, you know, I mean, he was a kid.
You met him when he had the small gold chains on. And that's crazy. The earring? Yeah, that's legendary, Michael Jordan. Like, yeah, can you tell us, when we do, on my show, I wanna be able to talk about things that, stories people that they never heard them before. You know what I'm saying? You've done many interviews over the years and people getting a chance to talk to you, but, you know, when they talking with me, it's just a different type of access. So let's talk about that time when you gave Kobe that jacket, his first championship. How was that, and where was he?
The first championship was in LA. Mm-hmm. You know, when that was against the Pacers. Mm-hmm. So it was something kind of natural. I mean, you know, like, you know, Michael set up the tone. You know, like, you know, the knowing that he wanted the jacket after the championship, mm-hmm, because it's kind of like instant gratification. Right. You know, a ring, you win a championship, you have to wait for the ring 4 months before the beginning of the next season. The jacket, you put it on, you get that persona that you are the champion, and you right away get that. So I started like with Michael. I started with 91, actually. I started like with the first championship, 91, 92, 93, and then went on 98. 96 is really when everything started taking off a little bit more.
This the first one?
That's the other. It's in the back. Like, that's a 97, this one, I think.
97, yeah. So he's, yeah.
That's a 97. Remember when you wore the patent shoes?
Mike won that mini when he wore the patent leather shoes.
And then it was a 72 and 10. You know, so that was it. And but 98, that's what really basically everything just took off. And so Mike, when Kobe in 2000 won the championship, mm-hmm, and I was right there waiting in the locker room with him, like right away he grabbed the jacket, put it on. He was the champion. Shaq wore the jacket, and I'm in all those videos with the champagne flying.
How was the energy? What was the conversation? What was the?
There was no conversation. Emotions. They were screaming. They were happy in the championship. Imagine 2000, he was, you know, like he was like 21 years old, mm-hmm, 20 years old, 21 years old. Like, mm-hmm, one of the first youngest guy to win a championship. And he was so excited and just like so amazing. Even Shaq was the MVP of all the things during those years. I mean, but imagine Shaq at his prime and Kobe at his prime. And I have, you know, all the pictures with them in the locker rooms. Right. And it was an amazing experience. And listen, being in LA and me sitting on the court for many years and being friends with Jerry Buss for all those years and winning the championship, I had seen Magic win 5 championships, mm-hmm, you know, since I was in America. But seeing Kobe and Shaq was such an amazing duo, and being in the court and knowing the players and being friends with Robert Horry and Phil Jackson, you know, like being...
How is Phil? Phil a cool guy?
Phil is a very cool guy. He's a very reserved guy. He's not like the guy who's going to go and give you high fives.
Yeah.
But a very, very smart man, very reserved, but very classy. I mean, he's by far, there's nobody that will ever, ever get closer to him as a champion. No disrespect to Red Auerbach or anything like that. Red Auerbach won also 10 championships. But, you know, you're talking about a different era. I mean, the players were fantastic, but there was only 8 teams in the NBA.
Right.
There was no salary cap. There was only like 4-foot, 7-footers in the league. So, and basically, the more money you had, the better team you had. When you have to deal with a team where where everything is based on salary cap and you have to control. And that's why you have that beautiful parity in the NBA. And that's why I think Jerry West, other than being the logo of the league and being an amazing Hall of Famer and player, mm-hmm. I think, you know, if there was something as a general manager, he'd be by far the GOAT of GOATs, because what he did with building up the teams or bringing Magic to the NBA and smelling what Kobe was going to be able to do and trading him before he went to Charlotte, you know, for Vlade Divac, who was the star of the NBA team. So that's where these accomplishments come from, and that's why Jerry West is the greatest of all time.
What is your favorite jacket you ever created of all time? Like, what is your favorite piece you feel like this is like everything to you?
I think, you know, like, you know, my most famous jacket right now, I think, is the 2001 Kobe championship jacket, mm-hmm. the one he wore in the locker, in the shower.
When he had his head down, when he was like this.
And there's a lot of stories about that. But really, my favorite, for me, that's most probably, like, when people say the most iconic jacket that's known of mine, that would be the one. But really, my favorite one is 1998 repeat, the three-peat of Michael Jordan. It's still
six
always.
Rings. You're talking about the six rings.
The six ring, the one you have. You have that one. So that one is.
Ladies and gentlemen, see what I'm saying? Straight from him. You heard it from the goat's mouth.
No, you have it, and it's by far my favorite jacket. I don't know why it has a special place in my heart, because, you know, me being right there when
he was actually in the photograph too.
I'm in the photograph when he made that last shot. I mean,
he's
I was like,
in the photograph.
Where's
in the background of the photograph?
Where's Waldo? If you really look in, right. you find me one of the little heads like that, you know. And right after
how was
that,
you was like this.
I was the only one, because I no disrespect for the Utah fan, but they were nasty at that time.
Yeah,
they were nasty. They, you know, like against Michael, they were, you know. And right after the game, I mean, his personal bodyguard, Michael, came and got me into the locker room. And it was an amazing scene, because Michael, first thing he said, "Jeffrey, where's my coats?" He's the only one who calls me Jeffrey, by the way. So I gave him the jacket. He was happy, and I was taking pictures, and I was like talking to him and stuff. And then suddenly, the late amazing broadcaster of ESPN, Stuart Scott, mm-hmm. called me, Jeff, come in, we need to interview. I said, I'm talking to Michael. He said, well, either you can talk to Michael, either you can talk about your jacket in front of 60 million people. I said, okay, and now you convinced me. So I went and did an interview with ESPN. I wish I had that interview, though. I don't know if I don't have a copy of that interview, but
that's
that was pretty awesome.
Interview.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hey, and if Stuart Scott, at home could find that interview, I need y'all to find that interview for
but
me.
But Stuart Scott was such an amazing icon, and, you know, he just kind of also broke all the barriers, you know, with, like, you know, like as cold as the other side of the pillow. Yeah. And he has so many great expressions. He was just an amazing, amazing human being, and truly missed all the time, you know.
Yeah,
so
rest in peace, man, to the legend.
Rest
man.
In peace for sure.
So yeah, so let's continue to talk about the Kobe jacket and the pose, the infamous pose. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did that picture come about? Like, where was you when he got the jacket, and how did he get the jacket, and how did that picture even happen?
Like, so first, when I designed the jacket in the 2000, I used like mostly a yellow jacket with a skyline. For the second version, I just tried to kind of evolve the design, where it also was a different kind of skyline, but I really wanted to go more purple. Mm-hmm. And we're in Philly. They beat the Sixers. They lost their first game, and then they swept all four games after that. And, you know, of course, like with the iconic Iverson, which is, you know, like I'm a big fan of Allen Iverson, of mm-hmm. course, who is not? And we're in the locker room, and everybody's celebrating, and suddenly, where's the trophy? We cannot find the trophy anywhere. So myself,
what?
I mean, I was always behind the iconic Hall of Fame photographer, Andy Bernstein.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to be behind him, because I knew he was going to take all the good pictures also. And in the prior years, he always took all the pictures for me. And so we're looking for him. So I'm following him, and we don't know where Kobe is, and mm-hmm. we don't know where the trophy is. And we walk into the showers, and Kobe is in a corner holding the trophy, and he's having a moment. It seemed very depressed that day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I know that
the story about him. His
I know
father,
the story,
stuff,
maybe,
like,
I mean, but I'm not talking about it. But it's mm-hmm. a very personal issues he was having,
right.
You know, and he was very sad. He was in a very meditative state, and he was kind of holding and hugging a trophy. And we were only four people when we took that picture. There were only three or four people with us in that room when that picture was actually taken,
wow.
including the photographers.
So you was in the room with
I was in the room. The two photographers, the assistant, and myself. You know, I mean, Andy told me that, Andy Bernstein told me that on some of the pictures, actually, mm-hmm. when you look at the reflection of it, you can see me on the reflection. Like, you cannot see me clearly, but you can see my jacket. Because I was wearing, every time I went to the locker room, I made one for Shaq and Kobe.
And then you have
a couple
one
of players,
yourself.
One for, and I always made one for me because I had that in the pictures. Mm-hmm. And I did the same thing with all the, every championship, always made mine as well.
Right.
And
that's why I have some of the exclusives sometimes. Me and Jeff's the same size, by the way.
So that's kind of like was. I didn't realize at the time how iconic that picture was going mm-hmm. to be.
And even after that,
I have personal pictures with Kobe and I, and he still had that face that he was like, he didn't want to be there.
Right.
I mean, the contract between 2000, when he was such a kid, and he was like laughing and champagne and a cigar in his hand. Mm-hmm. And I had pictures with Vanessa and him. Vanessa, they were not married. Vanessa was 17 years old.
Wow.
And they were and he was 20 years old, 20, 21 years old. So mm-hmm. they were kids.
Yeah.
And it was so innocent and so beautiful. And
that's crazy. So
it was a beautiful moment.
So you see how from that turning into that, but it ended up turning into a real cultural phenomenon. When the just recently the Diplomats battle Jadakiss and the D Block, you know what I'm saying?
In versus,
you know,
Lox versus Dipset, yeah.
Yeah, both to you by Swiss Beats and Timbaland, you know what I'm saying? Legendary, all legends together by any means, but that battle was arguably the best battle
in
hip hop history. Like, one
and
of the
I'm so blessed sure. that because when they announced that they were going to do the verses, mm-hmm. Jim Jones called me. And he said, FaceTime me, and said, you know, we're doing the verse I had not heard. They said, but we really want you to be with us on stage because you're part of our history. And I said, sure, yeah, of course, I'll be there, you know.
Right.
So I went there, I was on stage, and of course, listen, I was friends with DMX. I did mm-hmm. all the DMX stuff, and I'm friends with Sweets, and I did Eve, and I did the Lox, and Kiss, and Jadakiss, and all the guys. Styles P. And so I was on stage, and obviously everybody started rushing on stage. It was everybody, all the buddies, and then suddenly they start clearing everybody out. And the only one that was staying on stage was one of my brothers, Wadin, who basically runs like the uncle of Swiss Rough Riders, you know, and he's one of my good buddies. And he said, "You're not going anywhere. He's staying with me."
Yeah, because everybody saw it at home.
People so everybody
just saw
it at
you.
Home
they saw
and
your
said,
smile. They saw your smile from a mile
and
away.
And I was not discreet. I was wearing a white python leather jacket, like tan, with my glasses on, my whole look. And they said, who the F is this white dude? Is he the owner of the Madison Square Garden? Is the owner of the record company? Or is he the weed plug? But he's somebody no matter what.
Because it was definitely a gangster habitat up there. It had a lot of
And I was right there. You know, like, as the show evolved, I mean, I was like from the dip set guy, you know, I was like moving a little bit towards like the Lox side, you know.
Yeah, because you know Yonkers and Harlem, you know, it's a little,
but
little energy,
there
you know.
There was nothing but love. So
it was all love.
Before the
Did you give Jada that jacket, that DMX jacket prior to that?
Prior, yeah. So before the show, I was in the locker room mm-hmm. with Joel and Jim and Cam, of course. Cam for me is like probably one of the first one who really also put me very deep in the culture by mentioning my name in the song.
Yeah, Killer Cam. Yeah, he definitely mentioned your name, highlighted it,
and
had it on too for years.
And you know,
years,
and
since
the Diplomat. You know, I'm
Harlem
not going to go too deep in the Diplomat
stuff,
logo. Yeah. How inspired it was from my personal logo, but it's okay. It's nothing but love, and I love it. But it's I did so many amazing jackets for them, for the Diplomats, and to this day I still love those guys. And you know, if I FaceTime them, they pick up the phone in a second, so it's not a question. So I went in and obviously Swiss and listen, Rough Riders and X and all those guys being from Yonkers.
Yeah, rest in peace, DMX.
So we went out and just, you know, I brought the jacket for him to wear. Mm-hmm. So Kiss had the jacket.
So how did he do the celebration post before he even,
he did it after the fact.
He did it after the fact?
He did it after the fact.
Like, and when he came back after that. Already knew
I just saw it only the next day and everybody started like, became viral because he started wearing it. And
that
he was
viral.
He was wearing with the shorts and the Timberlands and it was pretty hot, you know?
Yeah, real New York.
And before that, you know, when X died, I went to the funeral. And Swiss, I had made that jacket for Swiss, actually. I made one for Swiss, one for Alicia, and I made somebody for in the X camp. And he wore it on the Billboard Music Awards, Swiss Beats, wore the jacket on the awards. So.
That jacket's a beautiful jacket, by the way.
It's pretty iconic, iconic moment.
Have you done any jackets for DMX in his heyday when he was really going crazy?
Oh, yeah. We did, I did all the, you know, and actually I'm rebuilding that jacket into a commercial jacket that we're going to be hopefully launching, not hopefully, we know we're launching into Amazon Music. We're going to do a limited drop of only 100 jackets.
Wow.
And, so we're going to make a drop, and obviously with Wadin, we're doing that, you know, so.
Yeah, you
and
know
so we did the original one only leather, and we made it for all the whole gang of Rough Riders.
So you see, there's 100 jackets coming out, so that really means there's 99, because I'm definitely going to have one. You know what I'm saying? It just be like that. Like, I'm just being honest with you guys. It's my brother right here, man. I appreciate you really just coming to chill with me, man, because this is just like, this is legendary right here. People don't even know how legendary it is. It's the DNA of fashion and the DNA of hip hop just sitting right here together talking.
I really appreciate that. You know, like I said, it's all for me, all love and passion. That's all.
Well,
I don't. It's not calculated. There's no agenda in everything I do. I do the best that I can at all times, and let's see the results down the road.
Well, the results are speaking for themselves. But this behind me, this beauty behind me right here. You know who that is, Muhammad Ali. Can we talk a little bit about your relationship and friendship with Muhammad Ali, man? Like,
obviously, who doesn't love Muhammad Ali? I mean,
right.
He's just the greatest of all time by definition, right? Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough just to run into a guy, you know, a friend of mine, may rest in peace, also James Anderson, who was a bodyguard for Michael Jackson.
Whoa, and, you see, he big dog, and that's big,
and
that's
so
different
I
level.
Used to be all around Michael Jackson, all the concerts, and then he introduced me to Sugar Ray Leonard.
That's my favorite artist, by the way, of all time, Michael Jackson. That's the reason why I do everything.
And actually, when I did, when I owned Guess, and first money I made, I bought a house in Beverly Hills, but I really could not afford the house, so I rented it out to Jermaine Jackson in 1984.
Wow.
And Jermaine, I became really good friends with the whole family, with you know, closer mostly with Jermaine and Jackie, but you know, Randy and I met Michael a few times through them, and I, in fact, I designed the jacket for the Victory Tour at the time. Yeah. So even though I was not really yet into the big jacket business yet, but I designed the jacket they had all my jacket for the Victory Tour. I used to have, a long time ago, I had all the sketches, the original sketches, but with all my lifetimes and of moving in different companies.
Traveling and being everywhere in different places.
I lost a lot of my creative designs at that time.
Michael Jackson jacket is insane, though.
So through that, I met like a really good friend of mine. James Anderson introduced me to a friend of mine. His name is Gene Kilroy, which I was with him in Las Vegas. He's in the 80s now. And who used to be the chief of staff of Bobby Kennedy when he's running for president before he got assassinated. But he was also the personal manager of Muhammad Ali. Actually, I have some pictures that I can show you. He just gave them to me. I showed them to you the other day.
Yeah, but I need to see that. I think they need to see that. That's very, very rare.
So I'm going to show you those. But so one day he called me, said, you know, Chasen's doesn't exist anymore. But Chasen used to be the establishment in Los Angeles where Ronald Reagan used to have dinner five times a week and every Frank Sinatra. Like I'm talking like the OGs of OGs were there. And when I moved to America and I started making some money, I wanted always to go to Chase, and even if I had a drink at a bar. And that's what, I think that's the place when they invented the Cosmopolitan. Nobody knew about the Cosmopolitan,
what?
The drink. And they were serving it there. They had like iconic bartenders and all kind of crazy stuff. So he called me and he said, I want to invite you to Muhammad Ali's birthday. And it was the 50th,
exclusive.
50th birthday. Imagine how long it was. And I have a picture also of the when it was his birthday. My hair was all the way up to here. I was like, I had an earring.
You was a real rock star during that time.
I was living the rock star life at that time. Riding Harleys. And that's why I started making all the crazy jackets, because then you make the crazy jackets to sell it, you know. So can I see the Muhammad Ali pictures, please, Jill? And so that's how I met Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali was just such a regular guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I became really good friends with him. So last time I was in Las Vegas, he ended up giving me all those pictures, you know?
Wow.
That's a picture that my friend personally took himself. That's not a professional picture.
My friend took
it and Muhammad Ali signed. Then everybody.
Do y'all see this right here?
Huh?
This is Muhammad's autograph. Oh,
yeah,
right here
and this is like.
You've never seen this.
And then we played with Joe Frazier, who may rest in peace, also, who was a very, very close friend of mine.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn. Alliances will shift. And danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
In fact, I'm probably one of the only persons that I know that has a picture with Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, because they hated each other.
Wow.
And one time in Philly in 2001, at the All-Star Game, they tried to put them together, the NBA, mm-hmm. and they put him together for a bit, but
He wanted to fight him during that interview?
When he met him, he wanted to, he had actually, I'm not going to tell
he
the
actually,
whole
thing. He had real beef.
He had real beef because he insulted him his whole life, calling him a monkey, calling him all kind of crazy stuff, you know, Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. And then when he saw him, even though he was going to come out and be aggressive, Muhammad Ali was already not in good shape. And he started like going and hugging him, mm-hmm. with so much passion that he, you know, like they met up, you know? So, and I have a picture with both of them together. And so you see like here, so this is my friend, Gene Kerroy.
Okay, right that's the photographer?
No.
That's
the manager, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, wow.
And so there was Joe Frazier. And then when they had the fight, that was in Zaire also, when they had like the rumble in the jungle with George Foreman.
Got him with the dip. You never see, look at it. You got him with the...
George Foreman, the rumble in the jungle.
Him.
That's him again.
Wow.
Like that with George Foreman. And
I remember that fight.
And that's of course,
yet, but I remember it.
Everybody knows the Sonny Liston picture, the most iconic picture of Muhammad Ali.
For sure.
But a different angle of it.
Yeah, I've never seen
that's the same angle.
The same angle right here on the jacket.
But a different angle, you see. But that's like, but again, look who's here, Jim Kilroy.
Wow.
That's my dear friend, Jim Kilroy. So I always enjoy being with him, and he gave me, that's Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali together. So the good thing about Jim Kilroy is such an OG, and I love him to death, you know, but he's always tells me beautiful stories. Every time I'm in Vegas, I have dinner with him, and he tells me stories from Elvis Presley all the way through all the gossip, that stories that I keep secret, but it's like for my own personal...
For your personal archive in your mind?
In my mind, my own personal stories, and I love them.
Well, now that we on that, we went to boxing. We covering a lot of different things in this time, you know what I'm saying? But I want to get to rock and roll, because that's a lot of things that he doesn't talk about. You don't get to talk about rock and roll to a lot of the interviews. They don't even ask you about it. They act like rock and roll doesn't exist. Like,
right,
come on.
Yeah. I was very much into rock and roll. I loved it. In the 90s, you know, when things start coming out crazy, you know, from the comedians. I mean, also I had all the comedians wearing my stuff, you know, mm-hmm. like with Andrew Dice Clay and stuff like that. So, but you know, it was with the 80s and 90s. So you had the Motley Crue and mm-hmm. the Guns N' Roses and the Poison, and all those guys wore my jacket. I mean, I have stories when I was in, you know, again, maybe the hip hop people don't know what Guns N' Roses meant in the 90s, but I was in the studio with them. When before the original four from the Guns N' Roses, before they fired like the drummer and they were all like crazy stuff. I mean, you would go to a concert, that the concert was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, would start at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
It was like real rock and roll lifestyle. You know, I would go to
the hardcore crazy.
I would go to Slash's house and you know, there was a bottle of Jack Daniels.
That's when they destroy hotels and do all of that.
All
stuff?
All kind of crazy stuff, right? You know, but like. Beautiful memories and beautiful music also. I mean, so it's like, and you know, at the time, like in the 80s also, I mean, I was young, wealthy, I felt good in my skin, and I started designing the jackets for myself, and that's kind of, people start loving my jacket.
So when they saw you pull up, you wasn't playing no games, you were still pulling up like...
I had the whole drip, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, what is this? They're like, yo, I need this, what are you talking about? Like,
and,
how you gonna come and wear all Python in my show?
You know. I tried to be conservative, and I didn't want to overshine you, so that became to them dress subtle.
Right. Well, I mean.
So by me driving the Harleys, I was in the rock and roll lifestyle with the long hair, earrings, and
did
the
you
whole
know Aerosmith?
Thing.
I always wanted to ask.
Yeah,
that.
Of course, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's Steven crazy. Tyler, I met Steven Tyler. I met you know, like just all those guys, like Van Halen, and you know, just all those guys. You know, Motley Crue, which is a big thing, you know, Poison,
Who was
White
your favorite
Snake.
Rock star to work with, to create something for them?
I mean, like the truth, favorite. I mean, you know, the most iconic band of the 90s, I mean, for me, I mean, there's no question that the greatest rock and roll band, I'm not talking about the Beatles, because I put them in a league of their own, but really the greatest rock and roll band is the Rolling Stones, there's no question of that. So yeah. I was lucky enough also, on one day I was in the 80s, when I made a lot of money with gas, I mean, I opened a restaurant in 1985 on Melrose, which was the hottest restaurant in the city.
See, I didn't know this. This is something, and, he just dropped something. He never told me.
And I met so many amazing people there. And one day I was going to New York, so one of the big producers from New York said, I will come, let's go have dinner. And I said, fine, but I'm inviting you. So So I went to dinner, and as we sit down in a really tiny little restaurant in the village, it says, you know, I hope you don't mind, but a friend of mine is in town, and his mother-in-law came in from England, and is that okay if they join us? I said, of course. He pulls in Keith Richards with his wife and his mother-in-law, and he sat down with us at a table.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, my God, that was probably within maybe 1988, 1989, and as I'm talking to Keith Richards, he said, I have two of your jackets. which I had bought in stores, not for me directly, you know, but.
He was just purchasing on his own.
Yeah, and most of it.
That gave me that same vibe when we went to Craig's, and then you was like, yeah, there goes my friend Elton John. I'm like, Elton John, this is crazy. When we went to link with Benny the Butcher.
Yeah.
I love these memories, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy, iconic memories.
And like I say, I promise you, it's not about bragging or anything when I throw mm-hmm. out all those names. Mm-hmm. It's just like pure, like you said, like pushing P, you know?
Yeah.
It's like my passion. It's for me, P means passion, and being blessed to be able to be humble, to be around right. all those big people, because it's just a blessing for me
to be living the
dream of a kid, you know, that when I grew up in Paris or in Morocco, when I was, you know, I never dreamt that I was going to be with Muhammad Ali, that Muhammad Ali was going to come and hang with me in my office right. or being best buddies with Mike Tyson or actually, you know, I'm supposed to have lunch with Michael Jordan in a couple of weeks, you know, I mean, things like that for me, I mean, it's just like dreams for me, you know?
Yeah, but it just your peers, though, at this point, when you've been around, hanging around with them for 10 decades.
You know, I still don't feel like they're my peers, yeah. but I still feel like it's such a special blessing for me just to do that. You know, I was in Paris about 2 weeks ago for Fashion Week, and of course, I became very close friends with Michael's kids. Mm-hmm. And Michael kids, I've known them since they're 2 years old. Actually, I knew Michael before he was actually married, so I know his wife, Juanita, and his ex-wife and his kids. So the kids grew up having my jacket when they were 2 years old. I used to make like mini jackets for them, you know, for them to have it. And
so when they had them their whole life.
So when you look at those jackets, when you look at all the Dream Team or the like 98 championship, you know, whatever it is, you see that the kids wearing the jackets, and the babies that were in my jacket. So actually I became friends with them. I ran into, at a Louis Vuitton event, I ran into Marcus and I said, let's just work on a couple of projects. And, you know, and he's from Orlando.
Right.
I went to the opening of his store, Trophy Room, and I said, well.
It's a beautiful store.
I said, well, next time I'm in Miami, which I go a lot to Miami, he said, just, why don't you come over? I'll come up to Orlando and mm-hmm. spend the day with you so we can hang and maybe we can see if we can do some projects together. I said, why don't we go to Palm Beach and we have lunch with my dad? I said, well, that sounds even better. So I'm scheduling that probably for the next 10
you
days.
See, they knew me. You see, they knew me out there. They knew me out there.
They knew you out there. Yeah. No question. Everybody knows the Flash. I'm in the street in New York. People stop to me and say, well, you know, you're Jeff Hamilton. Say, yeah. Oh my God, like, you know, love what you're doing. I mean, your buddies with my friend Flash. I said, okay.
Hey, you see what I'm saying? And they know your boy. You know what I'm saying? I'll be outside a little bit. You feel me? So now that we, you know, we covered a lot of different things. Can we talk about give me some exclusive information that no one knows that you're about to do. There's some things that you got going on. Can we give me a little sneak peek of
some of the stuff I can tell you, some of the stuff I cannot tell you. I mean, unfortunately, the good stuff I cannot tell you because we have some NDAs and we want to make sure that when we do the drops, it's all done correctly. But the only thing I can tell you, there, you can think about the biggest brands out there. We are blessed to be able to collaborate with them. Mm-hmm. We're doing some collaboration with some Italian brands,
right.
also without mentioning names, which I'm very excited. In fact, I'm going to Italy on September 15 to kind of close those deals. Mm-hmm. We just finished the second very successful drop with OVO.
Wow.
We did the weekend.
Shout out to Drake. Shout out to all my boys over there. Yeah. TV
Gucci. TV Gucci, of course. Yeah, our buddy. And we did an amazing weekend collaboration for Super Bowl last year.
Mm-hmm. We're about to do
another one.
I can see it. You know, if you guys haven't seen it.
You know, I was with them actually.
Exclusive.
By the way, everybody should go and see that concert. I went to the concert on
last... How was that? I didn't get to see that yet.
Oh, it just came out. I went to MetLife Stadium, 60,000 people. It was like so amazing.
Jeez.
And I have to tell you, I mean, the people from EXO and the management and all those guys are the greatest people.
Yeah, you introduced me.
They're just such sweet people, so real people. I mean, how can you have like people like that? You know, I mean, that they invite me to go to concert. They have me VIP. I'm in backstage. I'm all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And at 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a message from Sal telling me, "Thank you, my brother, for coming and pulling after the show. I appreciate you coming to the show." I say, "Well, I mean, I'm thanking you for me allowing me to be part of it, and you treating me like a king. And then you call me to thank me for me to coming." So it's beyond. Those people are beyond. They have so much class, and so I'm blessed also to be able to work on a new project, hopefully with them going forward, and a lot of other great. We probably have a dozen drops coming up this year.
Major
stuff, you know, which we're happy and
like really major. Like.
And we're doing. We have a big program with Amazon Music also. That's going to be. We basically whatever I've done and accomplished in sports, I'm trying to do in the music world. The idea is that every month we're dropping one new artist. Like you know, so we did the Juice WRLD the first one. You know, hopefully we're doing Rough Riders and some other ones, you know. And the big thing for us is also that we closed the deal with the NFL and with NHL. So we are working on already going forward to the next Super Bowl, the next All-Star game, and just trying to keep up whatever we've done with the NBA over the years and continue with the NFL and the NHL and some of the other properties that we are blessed to be able to work with.
Oh, you see, he kept it P the whole time, you know what I'm saying? As in player, you kept it player because, you know, there's a lot of exclusive stuff. I know, I'm just gonna tell y'all, I know, but I can't say because there's NDAs in play, but you know, it is what it is. But y'all gonna see because it's my twin, V with my brother everywhere. Yeah. So let's conclude it with, what's your best advice that you could give somebody in fashion and designing and anything like that?
Well, I think like one of the things that I'd like to talk about is the fact that you know, like I always tell people, I mean, and to get to my advice is that you have to build up your identity. You have to be yourself. You have to be unique in everything that you do. You cannot be a knockoff of anybody else.
Right.
So, to the extent I always try to create my own lane and be in my own lane. I've been consistent in my own lane for 35 years. So that's the reason why I stayed through the good times, through good times and bad times. I stayed true to myself. Mm-hmm. So the idea, like when I design a jacket, like I always say, and I repeat myself all the time, I don't design a jacket because you don't buy a quote unquote a Jeff Hamilton, and I don't like to talk about like I'm
the third person,
but I'm as a brand, you don't buy one of my jackets because you're cold.
Right.
You know, and of course you can.
You know, we wear jackets at 200 degrees.
They don't I was in New York. I mean, I was wearing the jacket.
Like
but
the
idea is,
every day.
It's you're buying an attitude. You're buying a personality. And like, again, and at the risk of sounding pretentious, you don't buy a Rolex to know what time it is.
Right.
So, but you make a statement. It's something that you want to have. So to that extent, I'd really want to make sure because I don't want, there's so many people try to knock me off. So many people to try to ride my coattail and drink. So one of the things that since 1991, me being an artist, I tried to, as a visual artist, I tried to create something that my jacket are kind of like, when people used to come to me and say, they never said, "Well, I own three of your jackets." People said, "I own three of your pieces." Mm-hmm. And pieces, I refer to pieces of art.
Right.
So I kind of like try to project my jackets as art. Mm-hmm. So to that extent, I start signing every single jacket. That I start creating a story on the inside of every jacket, like mm-hmm. the one you have.
Personalized.
I package them in a certain way. And lately, since I started doing the 75 greatest players, I actually create a piece of art. Gilles, can you show me any kind of piece of art that you have? There's one, the Jerry West, that's on my desk, actually.
I love the exclusive drawings.
So you see, thank you, Gilles. So you see, like, when I create that jacket like that, so what I do is I create a piece of art to go with it. Instead of giving them a computer CAD, I create an actual illustration, and each illustration is all hand-painted by me. There's my seal, there's my signature, and this one actually is signed by Jerry West as well. So when somebody gets something, they really get beyond just a simple jacket they're going to be wearing it. So it's going to be, it's a real story. And I want people to feel very special. When they get the jacket, they feel like it's special. It's something, it's a memento that they might want to keep. They're not going to want to sell it. They want to keep it for them, for their kids. And interesting enough, when they did 75, it's a trophy. When the people got the 75, people told me they love that. Or they compliment me on that. They compliment me on the packaging. So, so advice is, in recap, I mean, I'm sorry I go on a tangent sometimes, but the advice is really going, being unique, create your own lane, and of course be inspired by everybody else. You have to be inspired because it's like the culture is about knowing what's out there and try to push it to the next level.
Correct.
The second advice is work hard. There's no other story. There's no secret into happiness and success by working hard. You have to work smart. Also, that's another piece of advice. Never procrastinate. Don't push something for tomorrow that you can do today. Because if you are a believer and you believe in the universe or believe in God, it's pretentious to think that you're going to be here tomorrow. For all you know, you might not be here tomorrow. So do that. And something that I really don't like is, and I always tell people, don't never feel entitled. Be blessed with everything that you have. Everything that you have is a blessing, and appreciate every moment and be very appreciative of everything that you get. And the good and the bad. When you have a failure, embrace a failure and just be, because it's a lesson that you're learning that basically the universe is giving you in order for you to make yourself better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's beautiful, man. You covered everything, man. You did everything. This is my real brother right here, man. And I just want to let you know, on behalf of the Underappreciated Podcast, you are appreciated, my brother.
Thank you, my brother.
Love you, man.
I love you too, brother.
So, you know, we had to come see some exclusive vibes real quick. I'm going to let him speak for himself. This right here is the president of the United States, you know, Bill Clinton.
That's the jacket I did for him in 1997. And he wrote me a beautiful letter, and it was just a great experience again, like being an immigrant and sitting at a table for dinner with him and being with him and just having the honor to talk to him, and just was such a blessing also. So I'm very appreciative of it. You know, very appreciative of it. You see, signed it, and so I made a jacket for him, a jacket for myself, and he signed my jacket on.
That's black hair, Jeff, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never seen black hair, Jeff. It's very rare.
I used to dye my hair black before, so I'm not just kidding.
That's the natural. You know what I'm saying? You're getting the natural
exclusiveness.
Maybe a
little younger, maybe.
You feel me? And then, as you can see, this is what we was already talking about. That's the infamous Kobe photograph that Jeff was also in that room, in the bathroom, when
this
he took
that.
This
is a jacket, a shoe that I designed with Converse as well.
A lot of exclusive stuff that you get to see behind the scenes. Another Kobe vibe right there that you didn't even know. Just the stuff everywhere.
Yeah,
right?
That's 2002 championship.
And I'll show you the very exclusive card right here that we did at the NBA 2K party. It's a very rare Flash Hamilton card, as you can see. And it's autographed by Flash Garments. Wow. Very rare. You ain't going to have one of these. Only Jeff. And I just wanted to show this, because this is very impressive right
jacket,
here.
One of the first jackets I designed around 1985.
1985,
in my transition between Guess and Jeff Hamilton.
See that?
And somebody just approached me and said, you know, I found this jacket, you know, and I want you to have it. And so he gave it to me.
He gave you your own jacket back.
Yeah. Actually, today I just got another jacket I made in 1988, 87. Somebody came and they have it in the Philippines. And they showed me the jacket, and I said, oh, I love that jacket. I said, well, we're going to bring it back to you.
You know, if I fit this, I'll be rocking this. I can't fit this. It's from the 80s. Tuskegee Airman. I have a Tuskegee Airman hat, too, with it. You know what I'm saying? See, look, we're going outside with it. Like, only in the Underappreciated Podcast, you'll be able to see some stuff like this.
You see, like those are like Bill Walton and Rick Barry, Pablo Escobar jacket.
Yeah, look at that. That's beautiful. Bill Walton, baby.
And those guys, they came to the office. They come here.
Yeah, you see?
Actually, Jerry West told me he's going to come. He wants to come to the office.
Oh, Jerry said he's coming to the office?
Yeah.
Please let me know when Jerry's here. That's going to be amazing. Hey, see? You see, it is, it's very exclusive. Shout out to my boy Rave, too. He pulled up on me. You know what I'm saying? So, we here, man. Stay tuned for the next episode. Stay tuned for the preview of this one. God bless.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good night. Garments!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.